Good day, and welcome to Aditya Jharawala Bank First Half 2019 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena Sanchez. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. This is Elena Sanchez, and on behalf of EFG Hermes, I would like to welcome everyone to Aditya Jharawala Bank's First Half 2019 Results Conference Call. We are very pleased to have with us in the call today Mr. Ismail Douiri, Mr. Talal Al-Belaj, and Mr. Boubker Jai, General Managers of Aditya Jharawala Bank, Mr. Rashid Kathani, Finance Director, and Ms. Ibtissam Abuhaya, Head of Investor Relations. The call will begin with a presentation from management on the first half results of 2019, and after that, we can open the floor for question and answers. I would like to hand over the call now to Mr. Ismail Douiri. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I hope you have the presentation in front of you. I will go through it quickly and then open it up for questions. We have a first section on the economic environment in the regions where we operate. Generally speaking, growth in Africa remains significantly high, with continued good performance in Western Africa, a stable level in North Africa, and a pickup that we're seeing in Central Africa after a slowdown related to the decrease in oil prices. Inflation in most of our countries, with the notable exception of Tunisia and Egypt, remains very low, around 2%. If I zoom a little bit more on Morocco, 2019 has seen a slight slowdown in growth, driven by agriculture GDP and a pickup that is very slow in non-agricultural GDP. The forecast is for growth to reach 2.7% over the year. Another important element is, of course, inflation that remains very low, but also that we see a slowdown in trade, imports and exports. We also see a decrease in the remittances. That is a new phenomenon. It dates back to 2018. We've had, before that, regular growth between 3% and 4%. The current account deficit is deteriorating at 5.3%. We also have, so far as of June 30th, a decrease in FDI, but nothing particularly major. It's a volatile figure anyway. Foreign currency reserves remain comfortable at 5.1 months of imports. Budget deficit is progressively decreasing to the government's target, which is 3%. On the monetary policy side, we've had a stable interest rate by the central bank at 2.25%, and the mandatory reserves have also remained constant at 4%. However, we've seen on the next page a significant shift in the government bond yields, in particular around the one-year to five-year section, or up to 10-year, where we've seen drops between 2 and 42 basis points. This explains the very good performance of our bond trading activity during the first half. We also gave you a number of indications about the stock market. As of June, it was down 0.7%. However, what we have seen is a significant pickup in volume, but this is mostly due to the IPO of Maroc Telecom that took place in the month of June. You also have long-term statistics on the banking sector. The interesting part is that we are seeing a decrease in the growth rate of deposits. So we've had a normal growth rate of between 5 and 6% in line with nominal GDP for 4 years before that. But since 2018, we are seeing progressively a decrease in that growth rate, and we're currently between 3 and 3.5%. And for loans, the pickup, the recent pickup that you see is mostly due to the sales tax special loans that were given with a government guarantee to all companies that had a tax refund to be, or VAT refund to be claimed by the government. So that has boosted total loans of the market by approximately 4 to 5 points overall. So the 7.1% that you see at the bottom of page 8 should read, without any non-recurring impact, should read between 2 and 3%. So we remain in an environment where loan growth is low in Morocco. Then you have a zoom between retail and corporate. You see that most of the growth is coming from the corporate part. What is, again, new, or at least a trend that we're seeing, is that we're seeing a slowdown in retail loans. And this is mostly driven by a slowdown in mortgage because of expectations of the buyers. Buyers don't think that prices are increasing. On the contrary, they're probably trying to find the best asset that is adapted to their budget. You could also argue, but we don't have any particular proof, that most of people who could afford the existing inventory have made the purchase, and others can't really afford the price level that was reached in cities, at least in large cities. So we see also a long-term graph of NPLs, where you clearly see the end of the previous cycle between 2016 and 2017. And since then, it has plateaued. We even see, when you look at the statistics of the market, that there is a slight pickup in the first half of 19. We haven't seen that in our case, but maybe some banks are still in the process of adding or accounting for NPLs. We included a page specifically on Egypt. As you know, it's our latest acquisition, and it has been a bumpy ride in terms of macroeconomics. I'm sure most of you are familiar, but just to remind you that we are back to a more normal inflation situation, but at the same time that we had to face significant interest rate cuts while we were building our business by increasing significantly our loans and also looking for deposits in a situation where our brand was not particularly well known. And so those movements in inflation and interest rates have a significant have had a significant influence on our subsidiaries' performance in Egypt. The good news coming from Egypt is, of course, the appreciation of the EGP compared to the dollar and compared to the dirham. So it's if you compare the first half of 2018 and 2019, there is a positive currency impact of 6.5% in Moroccan dirham terms. We also, on the next page, included a short summary on Tunisia, Senegal, and Ivory Coast. One thing important to remember is that the Tunisian dinar has been down 15% on average between first half of 2018 and first half of 2019, but also that there is good news coming from Tunisia following the MOU with the IMF and an issuance of a Eurobond. So since the beginning of the year, the Tunisian dinar has strengthened compared to the dirham by a factor of 4.3%. So we expect the situation to slightly improve between now and the end of the year. For the rest, it's mostly there is a currency impact with regards to Central Africa and Western Africa. Both regions are pegged to the euro, and the dirham strengthened versus the euro during the first half. So their currency is down 3.3% on average between first half of 2018 and first half of 2019. So now on to the financial statement. You have a consolidated P&L on page 14 with the increase in net banking income coming mostly or only from net interest income and negative movements registered for net fee income and for income from market activities, and we'll come to that later. Good control of OPEX, despite significant investment, in particular in Egypt, where the IT was completely changed in 2018 and has full impact in 2019. We also have a significant drop in cost of risk. We will zoom and explain that point. So that net income group share is up 4.9% at 2,935 million dirhams. There are non-recurring impacts in those earnings related to three different factors. The first one is the new social cohesion tax that cost us 72 million. The second one is the IFRS impact of our share sale to our employees, 44 million. And then IFRS 16 has had a 19 million impact. So overall, this has cost us 4.9 points in growth in net profit group share. So, in a sense, we could have posted twice that twice the current level in terms of growth without those non-recurring impacts. Then you have a summary of a number of indicators that I won't comment, and then we can go further down in the explanations by looking at growth drivers of net banking income. And they are mostly in Morocco. So the bank in Morocco's contribution is up 11%. Specialized financial companies are flat, slightly up. But international retail banking is down 3.6%. Without the exchange rate impact, it would have been a plus 1%. So lower growth than usual in international retail banking, and we can dig further later. So then on the next page, page 18, we can see that in terms of net interest income, in Morocco, we've been able to really do very well in the environment, mostly because we had a significant share of the VAT loans last year, but also because we have been very careful in managing our cost of funds. We also can see that international retail banking is down. It is mostly due to three factors. One is the currency impact in Tunisia. The second one is the squeezed margin in Egypt. And the third one is a decrease of our business in Central Africa for macroeconomic and risk reasons, risk appetite reasons. So in terms of growth of loans, and this is what I was commenting, you can see that in Morocco, growth was vigorous, while in international retail banking, we have had the impact that I described earlier. On the fee side, in Morocco, the bank in Morocco, we are seeing a continued good performance, partly due to all the transformations that we have done during our strategic plan that we are now seeing the result of in the form of increased sales efficiency and number of initiatives that are improving our fees in Morocco. However, in international retail banking, we see a significant adverse element coming from Central Africa, related mostly to a very stringent regulation on foreign currency that has forced us to give back any foreign currency assets to the central bank and then claim it whenever there is a need for a client and wait for the central bank to accept that. So that has slowed down significantly our foreign currency business and the associated fees. This is on top of what I described for Tunisia in terms of currency impact. Then we have in the market activities, again, a very good performance in Morocco, and I talked about it. We took good positions. Probably too safe, had we known that the yield curve would so much. Probably too conservative, but they were very positive for the general impact on Morocco. However, we see in international retail banking a significant drop. One reason has to do with the regulation in Central Africa that is now creating risk weights on the sovereign. So we sometimes reached our own exposure limits to some of the sovereigns, or restricted voluntarily our exposure there. And then in Western Africa, there has been a lack of bonds. Not sure we account all of them here. But this is coming more from Tunisia. This part is more the Tunisia impact on the currency that is also putting pressure on the figure here. Then cost of risk. So I think we'll see the provisioning level elsewhere. I think it's easier if we go there. As you know, we are applying IFRS 9, and you have the evolution by business. But I think it's more interesting if we go and look at page 26, where you have the exposure and the coverage ratio for each bucket, separating Morocco from international retail banking. And as you can see here, the impact or the movements are not coming from coverage ratio that have, generally speaking, either remained constant or even increased, but they're coming from a decrease in the exposure, mostly coming from bucket 2 in international retail banking. But also in Morocco. So bucket 2 has decreased. Then we can go to page 24, where you see also the accounting figures of loans for each business and the resulting NPL ratios. Now, the main contributors on page 28, you have this list. There has been a reshuffle in the usual order, mostly because of the currency impact in Tunisia and because of this double squeeze that we had in Egypt. One has to do with interest margin and the other one with costs. Other than that, we see the really positive impact of all the work we've done in Senegal and Ivory Coast with clear strategies that are being implemented and getting good results. And then you have the ROA that has dropped in consolidated terms by almost 10 basis points. But you see that there is a clear reason coming from international retail banking. And that in Morocco, we've seen the opposite impact. In terms of capital, we remain in a situation where we consider our buffers to be largely enough to manage any known regulatory change. And I remind you that we're still in a transition period with a number of issues that are summarized on page 32. The latest events have to do with an issuance of an additional Tier 1 of 1 billion dirham in June 19, following another issuance that took place in December 18. And our roadmap to 2022 remains the same as before, which is an issuance of between 500 million and 1 billion of additional Tier 1 every year, in order to take into account the IFRS 9 impact. So we end this presentation with our share performance. We're happy to see that we have continued to outperform the stock exchange, the general index. The performance since at the beginning of the year is 5.7% versus 1.5% for the index. Thank you very much for your attention, and we're ready to take your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach the equipment. Again, press star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause just a moment. And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
Okay, I will start. This is Elena from EFG Hermes. I will start with some questions until participants include their questions in the queue. One question I had is on the post. You mentioned before that we have seen a slowdown in remittances from expatriates, from Moroccans living abroad. Has there been any evidence as well of a slowdown in deposit growth from expatriates, or there has been a decline in the amounts of deposits, since it's a significant driver of deposits for the system? The second one is, if there is any regulation that will an increase in provisioning costs or in NPLs for Morocco. There was some news in July about the central bank potentially asking banks to take provisions, I think it was 30% of collateral real estate values. I think this was for a collateral that has been with the bank, or NPLs that have been with the bank for a long time. So I was wondering if there was any progress there, and if that's going to impact provisioning costs, in a meaningful way. And also drivers of loan growth in Morocco in the first half of the year. You mentioned VAT loans explain the year-on-year growth, but if I look at June 19 versus December, growth is close to 4%. So I was wondering if there was any additional impact from VAT loans, or if there are other drivers explaining that growth. Thank you.
Okay. Elena, I'll have to ask you to restate the second question that I didn't get. You were saying collateral.
There was some news in July, I think, over the summer about the central bank asking or planning to ask banks to set aside provisions equivalent to, I think it was 30% of the value of real estate assets that banks have as collateral, because they were saying cases these are not very liquid assets.
Okay, I understand. I'll start, and then my colleagues may complete. So the question has to do with Moroccans living abroad. Remittances, we see the statistics, they are dropping. Have we seen an impact on the deposits, their deposits? The answer is yes, but it's not very, very clear. I think there is a general movement of slowdown in deposits that is not coming only from Moroccans living abroad, because we see that also in the general deposits of Moroccans living in Morocco. The reasons are macroeconomic. One is the current account deficit, and the second one is a more rapid growth of cash than of the real economy. So we see people leaving money in cash. When you look at those statistics, I think the 12-month growth of that amount is 7%. So it's larger than the growth of the economy. It might, okay. Some say, this is mostly in the press, that is, it might be related to a more data-oriented approach of our tax authorities, who are now using big data in order to have more precise, targeting of potential tax frauders. The second question that has to do with the central bank.
Sauf celle-là, vous avez un complément sur les émereux, les dépôts des émereux.
À cause du taux de change.
Ah, okay. So on Moroccans living abroad, we have also another explanation from Mr. Jay. It is that many of them prefer to exchange their euros, mostly euros, into dirham when they have a favorable, what they consider a favorable exchange rate. So the fact that the Moroccan dirham has strengthened compared to the euro may be another reason why it has slowed down. So they limit their remittances to the immediate needs of consumption of their family versus their long-term savings in the Moroccan dirhams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So on the second point, which is the collateral related or the provisions that might be required for real estate collateral, donc c'est la réforme sur la réforme en cours sur les crédits immobiliers, ou en tout cas sur l'immobilier hors exploitation venant des nations. So the regulation has not been published. The central bank is probably still assessing the situation for all banks. We don't have any particular impact that we expect on this one.
Actually, they don't want to put provisions, but they want to deduct 30% of the real estate assets from the regulatory capital. So it won't impact the net income, it will impact the capital adequacy ratio. Regarding Atijari, we have less than 1.5 billion, so it means that our equivalent of market share is only 6-7% of all the sector. So this topic won't have a significant impact on us, as we will deduct 200 million from our regulatory capital over a long period of a long progressive period. So it means 5 basis points fully loaded.
This is when they release the regulation. So it has not been published. This is just the current status of their thinking, what we think is their thinking. So not relevant for us, might be relevant for some of our competitors, and positive overall, positive for the whole industry. Third point is the drivers of loan growth. The VAT loans were in fact concentrated in December. When you look at the general amount, the total amount, maybe two-thirds of that amount was in December 2018. So it's normal that it still has a significant impact in the first half compared to the first half of last year. Does it answer your question?
The question was the drivers of loan growth in the first half of the year. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's 4% in June 19 versus December 18 in Morocco.
Okay, so you're talking the
what has moved
since December. I think it's just the rest, the general movement. So retail continues with the same themes, two-thirds coming from mortgage, one-third coming from consumer loans. So, you know, the drivers are the same. And then for corporate, it's mostly about it's mostly about working capital and then investment. So we see we don't see a very vigorous investment environment.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
And there are no questions in the queue at this time, but as a final reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. We do have a question from Tunde Ojo at Harding.
Good morning. I just have a question regarding the exceptional item, the 44 million dirhams related to the IFRS adjustments related to employees, right, from the capital raise in December. Is that number going to recur in the second half and even in 2020, or is this just one off at this time and we'll never see it again?
Okay, so that part is 600 million discounts given to our employees compared to the share price at the time of the share issuance. Those 600 million have to be amortized in accounting terms in IFRS in a linear way during all the period that our employees have to hold the stock before they can sell. And the average period, I think we had different tranches, but the average period is 7 years. So this should be 600 divided by 14. I hope I'm right.
Actually, we will have 80 million a year over the first 4 years, and then around 60 million a year for the remaining period. And the over period is 7 years.
Got it. Thank you.
And at this time, we have no further questions. And no other questions at this time.
So if we have no more questions, we all wanted to thank you for your attendance, and then we remain at your disposal for any questions you have. Tisana Buhari as coordinates, and I remind you also our investor relations website, ir.atijariwafabank.com, where you will find all the public data on our company. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes the call. I would like to thank the management team for their time and everyone for taking part in the call. Have a good day. Thanks.
And again, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.